Thank you very much. Real pleasure to have this opportunity to visit with you about national animal identification. This position I have today certainly gives me the opportunity to travel to different parts of the country, which is really great. I appreciate that more so the last 12 months than that I work out of the D.C. area, so getting out of that part of the country is a real treat, but it's always interesting to get a sense for where different stakeholders, different industry organizations are at in regards to their support or lack of support, if you will, for national animal identification. We have differing of views, and I think as we move forward, one of our key objectives is to make sure we continue to stay in tune with the grassroots level, and that's certainly one of the reasons why I spend a lot of my time out in the country. Appreciate the opportunity of the last presenter to look forward. I think that's exactly what we need to continue to do, but I can't help but ask what our industry would look like today if on December 23rd we took a metal ear tag out of the animal that was the, quote, cow that stole Christmas. Where would our industry be at today if we took a very simple, unique animal identification device out of the equation in what we were dealing with the end of last year on our disease monitoring surveillance activities? Can't help but think it would be quite different today. So I think we need to keep things in perspective when we look at national animal ID. I know there's a lot of sense that we can do a lot of great things and a lot of blue sky, but I think when we get all through the evaluation process, when it comes back to you all, the practicality, the affordability of what we're looking at needs to be taken into consideration, because we can get a lot of return on something that remains very practical and affordable. Bottom line is we need to make progress in where we're going, and you all have worked on individual animal ID programs for many years, so I don't need to get into the reasons why animal ID is good beyond what we're looking at from a national perspective. Why does the USDA want animal ID? You want animal ID for various reasons, but I think we all want animal ID for this reason: to establish the foundation of an animal information system necessary to support animal disease control, eradication, monitoring, and surveillance programs. Again, there's other opportunities for you all to add other activities, other benefits to individual animal ID. Our basic foundation principle is animal health. We all know that the void in animal identification in the states is continuing to grow as we phase out of the brucellosis eradication program. So we need to move forward with a replacement, something to take us into the future to make sure we have an active, adequate animal disease monitoring program. The goal that has been established, and I say the goal that has been established, really is an effort that started well beyond last December. Actually, for the last 2+ years, different organizations, producer-driven organizations, or this activity was really more producer-driven than government-driven, established different national working groups. One of the first things they did was establish a goal or a direction for this activity, and this still remains the goal today, and that is to establish a national animal identification system that has the capability to identify all animals and premises that have direct contact with a foreign animal disease, or actually any disease of concern, within 48 hours after discovery. What's our capabilities today? Probably not 48-hour traceback. Now, if we were content and we felt a traceback system that could take days or weeks, months, we probably wouldn't be looking at a program of this magnitude. But timely traceback is the whole key to this. And in too many cases today, the timeliness, the completeness, the accuracy of our traceback capabilities is inadequate. And that's really what we're all about. Key components, again, the development over the last couple of years, the U.S. Animal Identification Plan or the National ID Development Team did tremendous work, probably an 80, 90-page document that the USDA is really using as a guide as we develop the program and bring it forward. The standards, when we look at a national program, we can't get anywhere without national standards. And that's one of the things I think we've lacked for many years. Different parts of the country doing different things, different programs doing different things. The standards that we're focused on as the key foundation elements, components, a uniform premises identification system. And I'll talk more about the premises ID program, a uniform and nationally recognized individual animal numbering system. We have a lot of individual animal ID in the states, but one of our problems is we have multiple numbering systems, and that causes complexity, it causes information cracks in the system, and so forth. We're probably one of the last modernized countries in the world that doesn't have a single national numbering system for livestock, for cattle. So I think this will help us move forward, and I know your organization is well prepared to implement the proposed national numbering system. Certainly in some species groups, poultry and swine, where animals move through the production chain as groups instead of individuals, where it's not applicable to individually tag or identify each animal, an identifier that allows us to track that unit of animals through the system is appropriate and is one of the recommendations. When we look at premises identification, first of all, what is a premises? Premises is really any place where livestock is held or managed. Your operation is a premises. A fairgrounds, a sale, a market, a slaughter plant, wherever animals are held or managed. The definition or how one interprets a premises, a confined dairy operation compared to public grazing areas. A lot of differences in what that premises is or isn't. So we have to have some flexibility in what we, how we define a premises. We cannot have one sentence or even two sentences that covers all the variabilities in what a premises is. So you all will work with your state animal health officials, your authorities in your states to determine what is your premises. If you need one premises number or multiple premises numbers. If I have a distinct two different operations, one's a commercial operation, one's a purebred operation, and I do not move animals back and forth, it would be to my advantage to have separate premises, premise identification numbers. So premise ID is the first priority when we start looking at the national program. We all obviously still want to focus on achieving our goal, tracing animals back within 48 hours after discovering a disease problem or one of concern. Why is premises important? If we're going to track animals back, we have to know their locations. Premises is not ownership of animals, it's location-based. I use this illustration, and again, with your experience in individual animal ID, it's probably not necessary, but I do have, I don't want to say debates, but healthy discussions in different parts of the country where maybe the standard out west, the brands, why don't we just use the brands? I have ownership records. Why don't we just use ownership records? So I use this scenario. Here a couple. Let's say, for example, myself, a city guy now, and Wilson, actually Gary, who is part of your organization, has been part of the group here, but utilizing or using this as an example where two guys really are going to get into this business, and they each buy a cow. For illustration purposes, both of those cows have calves. They're born on the same place, so their birthplace is the same. their first movement. And the Wilson heifer, or the Wilson animal, is in blue. My animal's in the more of the turquoise, but they move together in their first movement from their birthplace. The second time those animals are moved, they go separate ways. The blue animal is found to have a contagious disease, a disease of concern at the slaughter plant. What happens? We start to trace back. If we were only going to trace the animal back to where it was last managed, feedlot maybe, be quite simple. A little more complicated given our current capabilities to track the animal back to its birthplace. But a high majority of the time, so we can do that today, but sometimes it takes us longer than it should. The real challenge is, how do we find this animal? An animal that was exposed to the subject animal at a common premises, birthplace. Today, to find that animal, we might have to test hundreds of animals, hundreds of herds, to make sure that we encompass this animal in question without knowing. If we didn't have individual animal ID and the ability to determine what other subject animals were commingled with the animal of concern. So our ability to find my animal is based on trace forwards. And that, I think, is the complexity of this system and why data collection is always going to be a challenge, but critical to achieving our goal. Premises ID. So given the system, how many years further out when we have this system in place, the Animal Health Authority would key this number in, the blue number at the bottom. And the system will automatically tell the animal health official that the animal was not born in Ohio. It was actually at a premises in Kentucky. The system will also give us the ability to reflect my animal, because it was commingled with this subject animal at its birthplace. We will be able to do that multiple times to determine all subject animals that were commingled with the animal of concern. We will be able to do that in a matter of minutes if we have a complete system, versus what would be our workload today, a workload that today sometimes is not completed. So this is really the whole idea of premises ID. It's location-based. Regardless of who owns the animal, it allows us to determine what animals were commingled with the animal of concern. Again, the challenge will continue to be, how do we collect all this information? How do we collect the information of those animals that move from the birthplace to the second location, the third location, the dates in and out of those premises? Collecting this information, I think everybody admits, will be the greatest challenge for us to achieve 48-hour traceback. So again, going back to the standards, premises ID. We want all operations to be identified uniformly across the entire country with a unique identifier referred to as the premises identification number. In actuality, it's not a number, it's a code, if you will, because it's a combination of numbers and characters. The rightmost character is a check digit. So if I would record this number into a database or a computer and I transposed the 2 and the 3, it would beep at me because that would not be a valid number. Not any different than the concepts used in credit cards and your checking accounts. The accuracy of this information is so critical. Something you don't need to worry about. But I think for systems people, everybody will program for that check digit, which is based on an international standard. The next priority, obviously, is animal ID. different formats, species specific, and again for group lot ID, the numbering system that we're implementing to the NAIS is the animal identification number, a very long number, 15 digits. The first three will be 840 for all animals born in the United States. 840 is the numeric equivalent of USA, and then the national number for that animal. That, in essence, allows us to identify each individual animal uniquely around the entire world. Canada really has already implemented this numbering system. Obviously, they're using the Canadian code. So if we trade animals, move animals back and forth, the Canadian animal comes down, we maintain the Canadian number. We do not re-identify that animal. An animal that's sent up to Canada, it would continue to be in their system with the 840 number. If it comes back to the States, if it works the way it's supposed to, that animal would still have the 840 number on it. So it's very important to understand that that number, and again, with all of you familiar with breed registry, it's probably a given, but we want that number to the degree possible to be its lifetime number. Obviously, tags are lost, devices are lost, devices malfunction, and we have to, you know, develop solutions for those cases. What changes on that animal's record specific for tracing the animal for animal disease purposes? The number obviously stays the same. So when it goes from its birthplace and it's associated with this premises ID number on the database, the animal number stays the same, and the new information is the premises number for the second receiving premises. So if that animal had five movements beyond its premises birthplace, by the time that animal is terminated at the processing plant, the only information that the animal health official needs are those six records of where the animal originated and the date in and the date out of each premises beyond. Do we need to know the breed, sex, age of the animal to trace it? Probably not. And I know there's concern about confidentiality of the data, but when we keep it in perspective, we can always go back and find out what breed, sex the animal was if a traceback's necessary. So what we need to come into the information system is very, very minimal pieces of information for animal health authorities. I think it's very important that we all keep that in perspective, because I think a lot of producers envision this massive database with tons of information about their animals. It's not the case. We don't need to know performance information. We need to know different dates, the dates that the animal was at different locations. The standard for group lot, again, not applicable here, but the standard that's been established is one premises ID and the date that group pigs, for example, was put together, and will identify those animals as they move through the production chain. So we've got premises in place, animal numbers. How are we going to administer the animal ID program? Probably questions for your organization, but I certainly would expect that they will play an important role on the individual animal side. We will have AIN managers that we will work with, so that if they have, whether it's a breed registry association or a third party that provides ID services, you as producers will have an easy way of obtaining your identification devices. What we want, and if the Angus Association is an AIN manager and they're providing you with identification devices, if you need 100 numbers, the only thing we're asking an AIN manager to do in the future is when you as a producer obtain 100 numbers, animal ID numbers, you send us a record of where those 100 numbers went, what premises number.